All right. About ready to get started here, huh? Well, thank you everybody for coming to a practical use of external data sources. Everybody excited to be at TechEd this morning? Yeah? All right. Day three. You've made it through the parties, and you're ready for more learning. Thank you for coming out early in the morning. And I'm happy to talk to you today. So, I know some of you folks are excited about being at TechEd. How many people are excited about SharePoint? Yeah? Yeah, all right. And I imagine you're at a Microsoft conference. You're, you know, tech professionals mostly, and database administrators, maybe developers. But we all like to use Word as well, sometimes too, and we all love databases, right? So today I want to talk to you about a way that you may be familiar with a little bit, hopefully, because I'm not going to go into the basics of the external data sources for SharePoint. I'm going to walk you all the way through a practical example of how I'm connecting to a data source, and the client that you use on the other end, it can be the browser, right? Or it can be a Outlook or Word or Excel or any of the Office products as well. And I'm also going to show you how you can deploy to Office 365 in the cloud. So I'm going to go through a bunch of demos today, and I hope you enjoy it. So let me talk about one of the examples I'm going to do. I'm going to use Word, and you can see up there I've got the metadata document information panel open there. And this might be something you do in your organization today, or somebody in your organization needs to do, right? When you get back from the conference, you write a trip report. Anybody do that? Yeah, a couple people, right? Sometimes I write a blog post, right? Word is kind of so 2000, right? But No, really. A lot of us end up doing something like this or for other reasons as well. And wouldn't it be nice if in our trip reports, if everybody in our organization was writing our trip reports, we had a standard way of reporting the location we went to visit, right? So one way you might do that in SharePoint over the years, going back maybe 2007 or 2003, right, would be a lookup list, right? Anybody use lookup lists in SharePoint before? A few people, right? Well, what's the problem with lookup lists? Right? They don't scale, right? So if you think about it, how many different places could everyone in your organization go to and enter into a trip report? And what would be the standard formatting in your organization for it? If you were to enter in all those places into a list in SharePoint, what would happen? Right? You'd have scalability, performance issues on your farm, right? And we don't want those long lists. Now, you know, if you're on the latest version of SharePoint in 2013, there's a lot of work that's been done to make sure that that kind of user input issue doesn't affect your whole farm. It was more of a legacy issue. But a lot of people are still running 2007 and 2010, right? So large lists are still an issue today in organizations. Wouldn't it be better if instead of a lookup to a SharePoint list, we could use SharePoint to connect to a database that had a list of maybe all the known places in the world? Then, if any of us were confused about how to spell Paducah, which I am, I couldn't tell you how to spell Paducah, we could look it up in the list and we wouldn't end up with five different people coming back from, hopefully five different people didn't go to Paducah. But we wouldn't end up with five different spellings of Paducah when people came back from the trip report, right? And even better, maybe we'd want a filtered view of all the known places in the world, because maybe our organization really only, or this particular need for our organization, we're only traveling, say, within the U.S., and we only care about cities that have a population greater than, you know, 500 people or something like that, right? We don't want them to enter in suburbs. We're going for major metropolitan areas here. So that's something I'm going to be able to show you how to do today. So my name's Tom Reising. I'm a SharePoint MVP and a Microsoft Certified Master in SharePoint, and I've co-authored a couple books on SharePoint. And I work for Jive Software as a pre-sales engineer. You can read all about why I'm at Jive on my website, tomreising.com. I won't go into that here. But I'm happy to be here today and talking to you at TechEd. This is my first TechEd I'm presenting at. This is my one slide on what is business connectivity services. Like I said, the rest of this session is going to be all demo. So I hope you get an idea of what business connectivity services is through practical example. But I want to talk about a few terms before we dive into that. So the BCS is made up of a number of different parts, right? So one, we've got at the bottom, we've got business connectivity services, which is the service that runs on your SharePoint farm that enables us to connect to external data. So in order to use business connectivity services, you have to have that service application running. And then once you have that service application running, you can define an external system. You can do it a number of different ways. You could do it through PowerShell, or you could do it through Visual Studio. I'm going to show it to you how to do it through SharePoint Designer, because one of the things I want you to take away from this is that it's very easy to implement a new external system and connect to external data. Now, a lot of times what you might do is you might define it first in SharePoint Designer and then define it as a repeatable package and scripted in something like PowerShell or Visual Studio. I'm not going to get into that today. I want you to see it from end to end with the SharePoint Designer method, but I want you to know that you also have other options for making it more deployable. So the first thing I'll show you how to do is define an external system, and that really has the properties about the data source you're connecting to. Today I'm going to connect to a SQL Server database, but you can also connect to any web services, and later I'll show you how to connect to an OData data source. So that's all defined in your external system. And then your external content type is a lot like a regular content type in SharePoint. It defines the fields that are in your external list, right? And this is basically metadata, defining the list, and it matches up with the metadata from your data source. So you're basically taking, you know, what you have in your source database and matching it up so SharePoint knows how to render it in the screen, and then we can render it in Office as well. And there's a number of different ways we can render that data. We've got external lists, data columns, and we've got business connectivity for Office. And I'm going to show you how all of those are used today. All right, so that's it. That was the slide. Now, it's all demo. All right. Who likes demo? All right. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Okay, very good. So I'm going to start with just showing you my my SQL Server database that I'm going to connect to today. I pulled this database down. It's kind of like a Wikipedia for known places. It's all the known places in the world. You can go there, geonames.org, and add a place yourself, right? And what you end up then is billions of places defined in the world, right? You've got parks and rivers and cities and towns, right? So I filtered that down to a couple views on my local source of the database, and I'm really using this as an example of something that you would basically never want to store in SharePoint, right? You'd never want a billion places in your SharePoint list, because that's not what SharePoint was meant to do. That's what database servers are meant to do. And you can use a lot of web services to do the same thing too. So you can see here in my GeoNames database, I've got a couple different tables. They have a couple different fields. And then I've created a couple views. One is just Texas cities. So we could see, there all the cities in Texas. Just selected the top 1,000 there. And then here's another one. This is all the US cities. And I'm showing you this view because this is one of the ways you can interact if you're using a line of business system. Your DBA is probably not going to want you to query the table directly, right? So a view is a good procedure, a good way to do it, and a stored procedure is a good way to do it as well. So I want to show you that it's very easy if your database system exposes these stored procedures and views, you can use them very easily in the business connectivity services. So there's my database. And now I'm going to go over to SharePoint Designer. I have my site on my local machine open. My machine name is SP2013. So I've opened that site. And then when I want to create a new external content type, I go down here on the left-hand side to External Content Types and select the New button here at the top. The first thing you always want to do is give it a name. And then we're going to look at the systems we have available to us, right? So right now, I'm taking this from scratch. I want you to see it all the way from the beginning. And I'm adding a new connection. So this is that external system that we're talking about, and we need to define some of the properties about it. So the first choice I have is what kind of external data source do I want to connect to? And you've got these custom ones, these .NET ones. You've got SQL Server, and then you've got WCF services available to you in SharePoint Designer. As I mentioned, in Visual Studio, we also have OData data sources available to us, which is really just another kind of web service. So WCF is one kind of web service, and OData is another, right? So I'm going to choose SQL Server, because that's the example I want to use today. Put in my machine name and my database name that we just looked at, right? And for right now, I'm just going to choose connect with user's identity, but I'm going to change that a little bit later. So now you can see in SharePoint Designer that we have a very similar view to what we had in the SQL Server administration. I can see my views. It knows what the columns are. It's read the metadata out of them. It can tell you that, you know, what type the ID is. And then we can use one of these views to create our first external content type. And the way we're going to define our external content type is by these operations in SharePoint Designer. So the basic operations you need in order to create an external list to see this in SharePoint are these two at the top. You need a read item operation and a read list operation. So I'll just create one of each of those so we can create an external list. You can see at the top the operation name. And here again is all my metadata from the database. You can see an error at the bottom. It says at least one identifier should be specified. So this is going to be my primary key of my table in my database. And I know that the primary key is geoname, so I'm going to go in there and check that box to map geoname ID to the identifier. And you'll see me repeat that a couple times. Here, once again, on the return parameter configuration screen, I need to map that identifier as well. And then you can see all the other fields I have defined here. It's picked out what .NET type the data source type should map to. For the city name, it maps to a string. For latitude, it maps to system.nullable, system.double, right? Because that field can be null, although it should be defined for all the places in my field, and et cetera. So now, in my external content type that we're about to create, you can see that we have one operation defined, the read item. And there's still a warning that we don't have a read list operation. So I'll go back to my same view of US cities, and I'll define a read list operation. You can see, once again, we get the choice to choose a name for that. I'm going to use it the default, which it just chose the view name and added list to it. And for the time being, I'm not going to add a filter. But as you can see there, it is strongly recommended that you add at least a filter of type limit. And once again, I'm going to map the geoname ID as an identifier. Now, I'm going to do a couple different things here in the read list. One is I want to mark the city and the state as show in picker. The reason I do that is if you just leave it at the defaults, what'll happen is all of the columns that I'm returning in this external content type will show up every time I have a picker operation. And we'll see an example of a picker operation a little bit later, and you'll see why we wouldn't want all that other information confusing the user when they're trying to pick one of these elements out of the data source. And I know for this particular data source that city and state uniquely define a particular item in the data source, because we're only looking at US cities. If we were looking at all of the known places in the world, we'd have to go a little broader. In fact, the database defines the column I'm calling state as admin code 1, right? Because in the U.S., right, we're the United States of America, we have states, right? But everybody else doesn't have states, so you'd have to broaden that. And then I'm not going to show to the user the time zone or the elevation or the country code. It's all U.S. Latitude, longitude, and population might be interesting, right? And then I'm going to mark the modification date I know is the timestamp field. And that's very helpful for things like search. If you update this data source, think about it, if there's a billion records in there, and one of them gets updated because the population changed, you don't want search to have to crawl all, re-index all billion places in the world. You just want it to update the values for the ones that have changed. So that's why we mark this timestamp field here. All right, and now you can see from my information screen in SharePoint Designer that I can now create an external list because I've defined the proper operations. First, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to hit save, and that's going to commit my external content type and my external system to the configuration database for the farm. Now I'm going to switch back to the external content type view, and you can see now that I've defined the external system for the external content type, and I've defined these two operations, I now also have the option to create a list from this external content type that's newly created. And if we look at SharePoint Central Administration and we go to Manage BCS, you can see also here that it's defined for the farm, this GeoNames data type, external content type. You can also see that it's created a BDC model, and as SharePoint is like to do, it used a GUID to name the model. Okay, no giggling. All right, there's a little bit. Right, and here's another GUID. Yay. All right. But anyway, sometimes you might want to come in here to manage the BCS from central administration if you need to set permissions on the objects or the metadata store or, for example, you might want to, on an external system, configure the where the profile pages will be created. All right, very good. So now that we've got our external content type and we can see it's been committed to the farm, let's create a list. I'm going to call this list US cities. And I'm not going to create an InfoPath form. Everybody knows about that, right? Okay, yes. InfoPath. So now you can see I have my external list. I can view it in SharePoint Designer, just like I could view any other list. I can pull it up. Oh, but look at that. I've got a permission error. Now I'll tell you, a BCS demo would not be complete without a permission error, so I wanted to make sure I show you at least one and how to resolve at least one. But if anybody's worked with BCS before, you'll know that you'll come across more than one. I've done this more than once, so maybe I'll only come across one. We'll see. And I mentioned earlier that I was going to want to change the security setting for our external system. So for whatever reason, on the screen where I defined the connection properties for this external system, I had, you might remember, three options: user's identity, impersonate Windows identity, and impersonate custom identity. In this particular case, I want to choose the BDC identity. It wasn't provided as an option in the creation screen. I believe, I don't know the exact justification, but I'm guessing because this is no longer a best practice in SharePoint 2013. However, I imagine a lot of you are still using SharePoint 2010, and it's a good way to get around what I call the double hop problem, right? And the double hop problem is when you want to pass the user's identity from the web browser to the web server to the external data source. So there's two hops there. And what happens with the most likely configuration setting you have on your SharePoint farm is that you've got a ticket, basically, that's created between the client and the server. but it can't be passed along to the second server. So that's the second hop, and we run into that issue. So instead of using the user's identity, I'm going to connect to the data source as the service account that I've set up to run the BCS service application, right? So it's a defined service account that I've created that only has access to this data source and only the access that I wanted to give it, right? And after I change that, I can go back to my list again, preview in browser, and refresh. Did I really save it? I didn't save it, did I? Jennings. BC identity. Cities. Well, like I said, maybe I'll only get it once, but I got it twice, three times. Okay. So that's a BDC identity is a system property. He said, I'll repeat it again because you can't hear the audience on the recording. He asked, where do you define the BDC identity? So the BDC identity is a default system property, and it maps to the service account running the service application for the business connectivity services on your farm. Right? So I didn't show that part, but when you set up the service application in your farm for BCS, you define what the service account is that it will be running as. And that's going to be your BDC identity. Oh, you know what I think I need to do? I think I needed to do that before I created the list. So let's go to the list. Let's delete that and create it again. It's not so hard to do. And you know what? I think I'll call this list MS Tech Ed. Cities. This time. And there we go. All right. So you can see now I've got a list showing in the browser, and the address at the top is similar to what you might expect for a regular SharePoint list. You've got the top level site collection, and then lists in the address, and then MS Tech Ed Cities. And then you might see something, you might notice something a little bit different there. It says US Cities Read List. Now that's the name of my read list operation. And I had the option to change that, so you can change that as well. Normally for a regular list, you'll see default.aspx here, right? But other than that, there's a lot of things about this that are very similar to how a list works in SharePoint, right? I can filter these, I can sort them. We can go and look and see which one has the highest population in the U.S. And of course, these are actual cities. These aren't metropolitan areas I've picked here. So it shows New York as 8 million and Los Angeles as 3 million and Chicago and so on. And you probably know, if you've worked with large lists in SharePoint, that when you've got a very large data source like this, these kinds of sorting and filtering operations can take a long time. Obviously, in this case, we're going directly to the database. SQL Server's doing all the hard work. SharePoint isn't doing any of this hard work on the sorting and filtering. We're running live queries against the database in this case. So now that we've got our external list created, we can look at a couple other things here. Let's take a look at the settings for this list. You can see all the columns are defined, and we've got views, and we can modify the views. So for example, if I wanted to take out that modification date, which isn't really a user view thing that we want to see, and if I wanted to sort by population descending, right? I can do those things. I also can do a lot of the other things you're used to with lists, like grouping. I could group by state, for example, right? And I can apply all those normal operations we expect to see on a SharePoint list. And now to take that just a step further, we can use that external list in an external data column on a document library. So if I go into my document library and create a new column, I can add a cities column of the external data type. How many people have done this before? All right, good, a handful, right? It's fairly interesting. It's a good example of one of the powers of the external data sources in SharePoint. And you can see here, here's my one data source I've defined. It's available in the picker. And I can choose any of the fields that were defined in my external content type. And additionally, I can add another column to help identify that item. And I'm going to add the state, because the city and the state together to help us distinguish from Springfield, Illinois, compared to Springfield, Indiana, for example. And now you can see, in my default view of the document library, I've got the option to define the city metadata for that, right? And if I'm going to switch over to my desktop, where I have Word running. I don't have it on my server. And I'm going to navigate to that same document library here on the desktop, and I'll take a Word document and drop it there onto my document library. And now I can open that document in Word, and I have the option to pull data from that external data source. So like we said, when we're going through that that trip report example, we can have the option to pull our location from a defined data source rather than have everybody try to guess how to name cities, right? So I'm going to call this trip report with the name of the location. I'm going to pull that from somewhere up here, one of these document properties. And you can see now that this Word document is connected to a document library, and the document library has an external content type in it, those are exposed in Word through that SharePoint connection. So I think this is really neat, because here we are in an Office client, and there's, like I said, this is exposed in Outlook and in other Office clients as well. Here we are connecting from Office to SharePoint to another data source, right? So we're getting, you know, that closer to that one source of truth, right, throughout our whole productivity system. We can use this in lists and libraries in SharePoint, and we can use this in our productivity tools as well. So I'm going to insert a document property of city, state, and then I'm going to choose from the picker, if I chose the right one. I think I may have defined this property already in here. I think it may be the city's state in this case. Let's see. And now when I define that property in the external list, we'll see it show up in the document as well. So here you can see I've got my you know what? I see what's the problem here. I was setting up this demo ahead of time, and I had an extra column there. So let's see which one we just created. The one we created is here. And then the one I created before, well, I'm not sure which is which. Let me just delete both of those and add it again. Good. Now we've only got one. And here you can see a result of a couple things that we set up earlier in SharePoint Designer. One is when we specified on the external content type that we wanted two of these fields to be in the picker. We can see those right here. We don't see the modification date and the population and all that, right? We just see the city and the state. And we also see some results of our filter selection. So you notice I was going through that fairly quickly. I didn't define any filters, so I don't have any to choose from here. And I get a warning that this picker field isn't going to show me all of the billions of records, right? It's going to specifically limit this. And this is something for 2013. You know, there's a lot of work been done to make sure that we're not bogging down the farm with too many results, right? So there's Paducah. That's how you spell it, apparently. I don't know if anybody else knew that ahead of time, but, you know, if you learned one thing today, you learned how to spell Paducah, or at least how not to ever spell it again and just pick it from a list, right? So now we've got Paducah defined as the metadata. And if we go into Word and we actually, and I selected the proper external content type previously, we'll see that exposed in Word as well. I'm going to delete that if I can. And insert that again. There we go. Now we only have one, city, state. And, oh, we got city. City's the name of the external content type, and state is the extra property I pulled out. So we've also got city. So I just added two different fields to my Word document. And now I have that exposed. So anything I choose from the properties in SharePoint now will be saved to my document in Word. Okay, great. So now we've gone end to end on building an entire system, starting from the external system all the way through to exposing it both in the browser and in Word. I want to delve into a few more of the details here. So now that we've got this document library with an external content type connected to it through a business data column, if I go back to my server and I look at central administration, I can now run a crawl on my local SharePoint sites. And it's going to pick up that data from the business data column. So one of the things I mentioned about external lists when I was showing filtering and sorting is that that's running live from the server, right? Every time I sort, every time I pull up the list, any users, they're using the power of SQL Server, which is very responsive to those kinds of queries if you set it up correctly, right? And it's much better at doing those kinds of things than SharePoint is with large data sets. Now, well, there's a couple exceptions to that live querying of the external system. And one of them is the business data column. So once I've chosen my field, my particular item that I've selected from the business data column, that is now stored alongside the list in SharePoint. So when the crawler goes through and indexes that document, it's going to pick up that value. It's not going to have to go live to the data source to pick up that value anymore. That one, so we can consider that one cached. And similarly, when you search an external system through SharePoint, when it crawls each of those items, and like I said, looks at the modification date to see if the item has changed, when it indexes those values, then those indexed values are going to be saved somewhere, right? They're going to be saved on the search index. So in that case, when you're searching an external system, once again, you're not using live data. In that case, you're using the power of SharePoint's great search engine, which is very scalable and can go up to billions of items, right? So I've started my main content source crawling, and I also want to show you how you would create a new content source for an external system. So I'll call this one GeoNames. And in this case, we have something you may be familiar with before. We've got a little bit of a name mismatch. So whoever was building this interface in central administration decided you should call this line of business data here. Now, it makes sense, right? That is generally what you connect to with an external system or an external content type, but it's just a little bit different, so be aware of that. And then I have the option to crawl all my external data sources or just a particular one. And since I only have one and I know I want to search it, I'm going to choose that GeoNames data source that I've defined earlier. And now I've got my other search running here. And if we take a look at the crawl log, we can see it's gone through and it's found a bunch of different things to index. And let's see if it found our list. Let's see. I'm not going to enter the URL, but that gives you an idea of what's going on here with the crawl history. And that's going to take about 30 seconds more. I can see the last crawl duration was 3 minutes and 41 seconds. And then I'll show you a result in the browser on the site. So we want to search for, if I remember, now in this case, I'm going to actually have to remember how to spell Paducah. Okay. And then I've, on this SharePoint server, I've defined a search center, an enterprise search center. It's not necessary for searching BCS, but in this case I did. And so I get prompted for authentication on the desktop when I went to search.sharepoint.local from my previous site collection of SP 2013. And so there you can see in the search results, I also have the result of my business data column being connected to my Paducah, Kentucky trip report. OK, great. So a lot of this hasn't changed since SharePoint 2007. A lot of these things, a lot of the tooling has gotten better. Previously, we didn't have SharePoint Designer a long time ago to help us define these external systems. So that's something that was added in 2010 and improved in 2013. The searching is better, right? How we set up a lot of the configuration is better. A lot of the performance and scalability has gotten better from 2007 to 2010 to 2013. But one of the bigger changes with 2013 is the new app model for development and really re-engineering SharePoint so that it was very good for multi-tenancy in SharePoint Online and Office 365. So I didn't think it would be fair to show you all these practical examples of using this data source without also showing you how it's used in Office 365. So I'm going to show you Visual Studio. I hope you guys like Visual Studio, but if you don't be scared. It's a really very simple what I'm going to show you, and it's not too much further than what I showed you in SharePoint Designer. It's actually fairly simple. The tooling that's been built into Visual Studio is very good for this particular for connecting to OData data sources, right? So this is Visual Studio 2013. It also works in Visual Studio 2012, but I actually, you know, challenging the demo gods, I applied update 2 on Monday morning when it was announced. Just why not, right? Let's go for it, huh? So I don't know if there's any developers in the audience, but it's pretty exciting whenever Visual Studio updates come out. So in Visual Studio, I'm going to go and open a new project, and I've got it open to the Visual C Sharp templates under the Office and SharePoint section under apps. So if you've ever created an app for SharePoint or for Office. You've seen this before. If you haven't, there's a lot of detail on that. I'm not going to go into detail on exactly what apps are for SharePoint, but I do want you to see an example of one that uses business connectivity services. So I'll call this one OData BCS Tech Ed. And I'm going to deploy this to my Office 365 SharePoint Online developer site. So my main site collection is called tomreising.sharepoint.com, and I've created a site collection of a very specific type called the developer site collection in Office 365, and I've put that under sites/dev. And for this particular app, I'm going to leave it on the default of SharePoint hosted. So once I specify that, Visual Studio is going to connect to Office 365 and verify that it can deploy. In the background, I've already logged on to Office 365, but there was some connection going on. So this has to be live on the internet when you do this. And then what you can see here is that Visual Studio has created all the standard items for an app here already in the solution. And the one thing specific to external data that we have available to us is under the Add option, we've got this, what might seem very obvious, content types for an external data source, but I can tell you it's very easy to overlook this because my standard, you kind of get muscle memory when you go through these things, and my standard route is to go here to New Item. But if you look under New Item, you're not going to see under Office or SharePoint, even if you add some external tools like I have CKS Dev here, you're not going to see anything about connecting to an external content type other than this remote event receiver, which is semi-related, right? And new for 2013. Instead, you're going to go down here to content types for an external data source. And the only thing you can specify here in this particular option that's added to the menu there is a URL to connect to an OData data source. So SharePoint exposes all of its lists as OData data sources, but there's also some services out there that already exist that you can connect to. So this one's running on a website, odata.org, under their services examples. And you can see here that it's exposing a number of different collections available to us. So that one's live there on the internet, and I'm going to connect to that data source using that URL, and I'll call it OData. And then, once again, we get a nicer view than I showed you the XML view in the browser there of what's available to us on this OData data source. I'm going to choose one of these entities to add to our app for SharePoint. And then what happens is SharePoint builds out an external content type. I want to show you what that looks like in XML. Right? So this is a large amount of XML here, right? We're very glad we didn't have to just type all of that out, right? Now, in SharePoint 2007, that's what we had to do. We had to type, well, we didn't have OData data sources to connect to, but we also didn't have SharePoint Designer, which also created one of these large XML files. And then there were some third-party tools that came along, but at first, the documentation for business data connectivity, BDC in SharePoint 2007 basically explained to you how to create this very large XML file when you wanted to connect to an external data source. So this is taking it even a step further and defining how to connect to an OData data source. And it's very easy to deploy. I'm going to run it I just hit the start button there, and you can see a couple steps it's going through. It doesn't have to undeploy it because it's never been deployed yet. And now it's actually packaging the app up and uploading it to Office 365. And one of the interesting things about an app is it creates its own site collection. We call it an app web. And in that app web, it's fairly limited. So you won't see up here settings to navigate to your lists. But what's happened here is Visual Studio, in packaging the app, has actually created a new external list. And if you happen to know where that external list is, you can navigate to it. There's other ways to do the same thing. I've packaged up all of this code in a GitHub package that's going to be available from the Office Developer Samples. And in that one, I've done some extra JavaScript queries from the client-side object model to expose what all the lists are so you can link through so you don't have to find the lists slash products. But here, once again, you can see, in this case, I'm running in the cloud on Microsoft's data centers, and I've just deployed a business connectivity services, an external data source, and from Microsoft's servers, it's connecting to odata.org and pulling back the live data from the odata data source. So the ability to connect to web services expands your reach of the external data sources way beyond just what's in your SQL Server databases, which are very easy to connect to. But you can also see it's very easy to connect to web services now as well. And again, just like my previous list, I have the ability to sort and filter. So if I just want to show the products whose name match bread, I can do that. I can sort on release date, right? And so on. So very easy to do, very intuitive, and a great example, I think, of how the external data source can be used. Now I want to share with you some resources I've got available as well. As I mentioned, the business connectivity services has been around for quite a while, and there's a lot of great resources available to you now that weren't available when I started working with it 7 years ago. One of the things that was lacking was any kind of book or documentation, right? So this year, we've got quite a lot of things going for us. We've got this book on the top is one that I've co-authored. One of my co-authors wrote an entire chapter on working with external data from the advanced business user's perspective. So it goes through in a lot more detail than I've explained yet today what all of these terms are and how you can use them and how you can expose them to your users from, again, the advanced business user's perspective. Also available is an online chapter from a 2010 book by the same author. And this one's specifically targeted towards developers, but it's available for download right now. So that link, all these slides will be made available to you afterwards. That link, chapter 11, will click through to an online version of a whole chapter of a book about business connectivity services. Then I also want to mention that in order to use the business data catalog in Office the way that I did, there's a number of prerequisites that are necessary. And without those, your users will see various errors, right? So here they are. I've got Microsoft SQL Server Compact 4.0, Microsoft .NET Framework 4.0, WCF Data Services 5.0 for OData V3. Those are necessary on every desktop computer that's going to connect to the external system the way I showed you, right? And basically what's happening there is this is telling Office how to connect to SharePoint, and then SharePoint connects through to the external system. And Maybe .NET Framework is fairly common to have installed on desktops, maybe or maybe not. These other ones are very unlikely to be installed unless you're specifically going for this example. So I want to point that out. And then there's a couple other great resources. So Brett Lonsdale and Phil Duffy and Penny Coventry all have worked for a company called Lightning Tools, which has been the best third-party provider of help for working with BCS and previously with BDC. I mentioned how you used to have to code those configuration files by hand. And if you have SharePoint 2007 today, there's a tool called BCS Metaman made by Lightning Tools, which will create those XML configuration files for you, very similar to the way you see it in SharePoint Designer today. But without that, you don't really have that option in SharePoint 2007. And then they've written some other tools for SharePoint 2010 and 2013 that help you if you're going into the Visual Studio side of things. Now that the functionality had been added into SharePoint Designer, they expanded their reach. So those guys are some of the best experts on how to use business connectivity services. And very late in the SharePoint 2010 product cycle, they published this book, SharePoint 2010 Business Connectivity Services, which is pretty much the definitive book on business connectivity services. And it was late enough in the product cycle that they were able to anticipate some of the changes they already knew that were coming through in 2013. So even though it's a 2010 title, if you're thinking about it for 2013, it might still be appropriate. And also Penny Coventry, who's my co-author who wrote the BCS chapter in SharePoint 2013 Inside Out, has a very small book. It's very inexpensive that came out very early in the SharePoint 2013 lifecycle called New Features and Functions of SharePoint 2013. And then she's got a very short chapter on all the things that have changed with BCS in 2013. So I like to recommend that because if you just want to very quickly get up to date on all the things that have changed in BCS for 2013, that's a great reference. It's also really good for all the other things that have changed if you want to know what's different between 2010 and 2013. And then I used a number of different web resources to prepare for this talk as well, and I wanted to share those with you as well. So if you want to go further along the central admin steps where I was creating a content source for an external data type, you should read this article, Exposing External BCS Content Via Search by SharePoint 2013 by Alexander Myers. It's quite a complicated process, and it'll take you some time to configure, and I guarantee you'll run into some permission issues, like is often common with BCS. But the great thing about this particular blog post is he's got screenshots of the whole thing and a lot of troubleshooting steps to help you through configuring that search. Also, a lot of times you want to use the Secure Store service, which was new for 2010 and continues through to 2013 when you're connecting to BCS. And that's another great way around the two-hop problem I described. So, and all these slides will be available to you as well afterwards, although I often take pictures myself to help me remember. But they'll have the hyperlinks, too, so you can click through. Well, anyway, Fabian Williams, who's here as well presenting, you may have seen one of his talks, or you may have talked to him at Ask the Experts. And he's also working in the office booth with me as well today and tomorrow. He's written a great article. Again, it's a step-by-step troubleshooting and screenshots for how specifically to set up the Secure Store service to connect to BCS to get through that double hop problem a different way that doesn't depend on using the service account that's running the service application for BCS. So you have a little bit more, you have a little more flexibility there in how you set up that connection. And then Steve Peschka has written some really great blog posts over the years, especially if you get into you get deep into troubleshooting SharePoint administration problems. And he's got a number of different articles about connecting to BCS, and this one in particular talks about crawling OData BDC sources. All right, so I've left some time here at the end for questions, and we'll get to that in a minute. So think about some questions you have. I'm sure you have some questions, and I'd love for you to use the microphone so we can catch it on the recording. And I'll take those in just a minute, so think about those. And then as well, you can feel free to either find me at the office booth. I'll be in the Go Mobile section next to Office Garage from 12:45 to 3 today, and then a little bit tomorrow morning. Or if you think of something later that you don't have time to ask today, feel free to go to my website and use the contact form to send me a question. And make sure to reference that you were here at TechEd. Like I mentioned, the Office Garage is there in the Office series. If you haven't had a chance to go there yet, it's really cool. They've had some great interviews with some top Office execs talking about some of the details, following up on some of the keynote announcements already. I've been giving some great prizes away, like the Dell Venue Pro 8-inch tablet. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's an 8-inch, really thin, light tablet that runs Windows 8.1. Pretty cool. We've got a demo device up at Go Mobile in the Office booth. And also, there's a lot of other developer sessions you may have checked out already on Monday and Tuesday, and some more coming up later in the day today. And, of course, if you're a developer and you haven't checked out the hands-on labs yet, make sure to go. And you can see there's a great hands-on lab, OFC-H311, right there, where you can do a lot of the things that I just did today on a machine that's already set up with a lot of the bugs worked out with step-by-step directions for how to do it. And if you're a developer and you're preparing for these exams, you could have done that if you were there on Tuesday. And of course, every entry, every evaluation you fill out gets you an entry for a gift you can win. And this is your QR code for this session. And then please, I encourage you to submit feedback. So with that, let me take some questions. Anybody have some questions about what I talked about today? Yes, please step up to the mic.
The new version of ADFS on 2012 looks like it can handle Kerberos. And do you think that could be used for the double hop issue?
Okay, so this is a great question. It comes up very often, again, about the double hop question. As I said, I stepped through very quickly how you can create a new external system and external data source today. And I wanted to show you how easy it can be once you have everything configured correctly. But a lot of times, setting up that first external data source can involve quite a bit of work, right? So we talked about two ways to get over the double hop problem. One was using the BDC identity, and the other is using the secure store service. And then the third, which was often more common in SharePoint 2007, but also applies to 2010 and 2013, is using Kerberos on your farm. And I'll tell you that it can be a very complicated setup, and it can be difficult to troubleshoot. But I've seen it work effectively to overcome the double hop problem. And basically what happens is you get a token from the client to the server, and that token can be passed and trusted by your SQL Server, or your line of business data system. And that will pass through the two hops, right? So in that way, you can use your user identity to connect to your data source, which oftentimes can be very good for trimming the results you get back to the particular user's permissions as opposed to a group or role permission base. Great question. Thank you. And I've got some Office Developer t-shirts, and I don't think I mentioned, but if you ask a really good question, maybe you get a t-shirt. All right, let's see. I think I've got seven more of these. So anybody else got a good question about? All right, good. Got another one up there. Thank you. Come on. What do we got?
Can you use external lists and external columns and manage metadata?
All right, that's a good question. And You know, I don't think I've ever tried to do that. So we said, can you use external lists and external columns and manage metadata? I'm going to guess the answer is no. I'm happy to double check that for you and get it back to you if you want to bring me your contact information, and I'll give you a t-shirt too.
Sure.
All right, so I've got these great, I don't know if you've seen them, coding on it, right? It's a play on working on it in SharePoint. And if you'd like. Oh, do you have a business card, perhaps? Okay, I'll give you mine. Or you can go and ask on tomreising.com to make sure I can get you the answer back. I've got a contact me form. I'll check that out. Good question. All right, any other questions here? Sure.
Yeah, I noticed when you set up the operations, there were some for editing and inserting your data.
Yes.
So how well does SharePoint work, you know, editing your external data?
Very good. Great question. So here, would you like a t-shirt? Yes, thank you. So this is also a common question. It wasn't possible in the early versions of BCS, but it is possible in 2010 and 2013. You actually have full create, read, update, delete. Let's say, I won't say it wasn't possible entirely in 2007. It was just a lot harder, like most of the things. It's actually exposed in SharePoint Designer. So basically, just like I defined the read item and the read list operation, I would recommend connecting, if you're connecting straight to a SQL Server database, you'd probably connect to a stored procedure for update and delete operations. But it's very similar to how I defined the read list and read item. You just need to have the proper, if you want to, you can write, or SharePoint Designer will actually write the update and delete SQL statements for you. Right? A lot of times that's not acceptable. Depending on your data source and who's managing it, right? So they might rather prefer that they provide you a stored procedure that you fill. So when I was choosing the read item and read list operations, I was using a view, right? But similarly, SharePoint Designer will expose stored procedures to you, and you can pick those. And that would be my recommendation if you go for updating and deleting external content from SharePoint. Very good question. I like that. Any other questions? I've got two more t-shirts. All right, good. It's always good to have question bait.
One question I have. You mentioned earlier on that using the service account to resolve the double hop is no longer recommended. How do they recommend it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. All right, would you like a t-shirt? So the question was, if using the identity of the BDC is no longer recommended, what is recommended, right? And so there's a couple caveats to that, right? I'm comfortable using it in this situation because I understand what the service application has access to, and in this particular data source, this is something I want to make available to everybody in the organization. This is just an informational source. You know, it's not proprietary or anything like that, right? So in this particular instance, I have no qualms about using the BDC identity to connect to my data source. The reason that they limited it intentionally was because there are a lot of data sources that you're connecting to in your business, like HR systems or sales systems, where you don't want to have that broad of access to it. And a lot of people don't define their service accounts as specifically as I do when I'm setting up a farm, right? So they may have, you know, like, it could be an administrator account that's running everything, right? That's a bad practice, but we don't know, right? So the Secure Store service is much more explicit about how you're connecting to your service. And again, the Kerberos option is good as well, especially if you've got user-specific permissions as opposed to just role-based permissions, which the Secure Store will allow you to do. So that would be my recommendation to you, is check out the Secure Store. I think that's probably the easiest to set up the BDC identity the way that I did it. I actually had to run a couple PowerShell scripts to change the default settings of the BCS service application. You don't have to do that for the Secure Store. Good question. I got one more t-shirt. Anybody got one more question in you before you leave? No? All right, well, how am I going to decide then? Come on, somebody? No? No? All right. Do you want to play a game for the last t-shirt? Yeah. All right. All right, everybody who would like the chance to win this T-shirt, please stand up. All right, very good. Oh, this will be a quick game then. All right. Now, let's see. I need a. I never have a coin in my pocket. Anybody have a coin in their pocket? Huh? Oh, he's got one. All right. Very good. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, everybody, choose. I'll go up here so you can see me. Everybody choose heads or tails that wants to win the T-shirt. All right. Not everybody's the same. All right, lock it in. I'm going to flip it. Tails. All right, so everybody who had tails, all right, choose your option. There's two of you left, right? One, two. All right. Good. You chose differently. Heads. There you go, sir. You can have your quarterback and your T-shirt. All right, thanks everybody for coming. Hope you enjoy the rest of your show.